Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Jeff Strike shares a story about a preacher who wanted to illustrate the free nature of God's gift of salvation. He stood in the pulpit, held up a poinsettia, and said, "Whoever wants this beautiful Christmas poinsettia may have it. All you have to do is come up and take it." And the congregation stared at him. And so he waited and he waited. Finally, a timid mother raised her hand and said, "I'll take it." "Great," replied the preacher. "It's yours." But to the preacher's astonishment, she nudged her son. "Go and get it for me." "No," the preacher responded. "Whoever wants this gift must come and get it personally. You can't send a substitute." So she shook her head and the preacher waited again. It was a beautiful, large poinsettia wrapped in red cellophane and a gold satin ribbon. It was set in front of the pulpit to brighten up the sanctuary. And now it was free for the taking. Someone snickered, "What's the catch?" "No catch, it's free." No one moved. Then a college student asked, "Is it glued down?" Everyone laughed. "It's not glued down, nor are there any strings attached. It's yours for the taking." A pretty teenager inquired, "Can I take it after the service?" The preacher shook his head. "No, you must come now and get it." And he began to wonder if he should have begun this whole thing after all. But then a woman he had never seen before stood up in the back, quickly, as if she were afraid she would change her mind. She strode up front and picked up the plant. "I'll take it," she said. And when she returned to her seat, the preacher began his message from Romans. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The gift of God is eternal life, and it's free. Yet when the service ended and most of the people had gone home, the woman who claimed the poinsettia came up to the front where the preacher was picking up his Bible to leave. "Here," she said, holding out her hand. "This plant is too pretty to just take home for free. I couldn't do that with a clear conscience." And then the preacher looked down at the crumpled paper she had stuffed into his hand, and it was a $10 bill. My brothers and sisters, as we continue our message series on the book of Romans, we come to a great passage, a phenomenal passage where Paul illustrates God's free gift of grace in Jesus Christ. We must receive this incredible gift through repentance and faith. And why? Because the Apostle Paul demonstrates the human condition of sin and its consequence, death, because of Adam's disobedience in Genesis 2:17. Adam stepped out from under God's authority and took matters into his own hands. And by contrast, the saving work of Jesus and his death upon the cross allows humanity's condemned status to be changed to a justified righteous status before God. Therefore, today let us perceive once more the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Let us see the importance of receiving God's free gift of grace. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Romans chapter 5, verse 12, found on page 678. Now our passage today begins in 5:12 with Paul writing about the universal extent of death. You see, before we were in Jesus Christ, we were in Adam. The whole human race participates in Adam, the first man. Just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. As a result of Adam's rebellion and his disobedience, humanity inherited death. But when we speak of death, can we even fathom the full span of it? the full scope of it. Adam is representative of the entire human race. When he sinned by stepping out from under God's authority, death entered the sacred story. But death is not just physical expiration with us being detached from our human bodies. It is also separation from the one who is life himself. So death is also spiritual. This is why we must be born again from above, as Jesus talks about with Nicodemus in John 3. But rebellion against God's authority and death which results from it have metastasized like a devouring cancer to all. This is the prognosis for the human race. We are drowning in our sin by our participation in Adam. And death is most eager to rule and reign over us. But then Paul makes mention of those who died before the Mosaic law. You see, in the Jewish mindset, many folks believe sin or death could not exist apart from the law of Moses. Yet Paul makes mention that everyone from Adam to Moses still sinned. And guess what? They died. Folks went on dying even though the law had not been given yet to reveal how they had sinned. And as we rightly know, the wages of sin is death. And Adam is representative of the reign of death. Therefore, there is only death in Adam. And what a mess it is. But praise the Lord for God's free gift of grace in Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. Because Adam was a pattern for the one to come. Whereas there is death in Adam, there is life in Jesus, our Messiah. Hear what Paul has to say in verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ. But although Paul compares Adam and Jesus, in no way whatsoever is he implying that they are equal. C.E.B. Cranfield comments, sin and grace are not equivalents, nor is death and life. Yet Paul juxtaposes the first Adam with the second Adam, which is Jesus, to show how very different they are. Because God's free gift of grace in Jesus Christ is superior to Adam's sin. Thanks be to God. As Robert Mounts put it, God's grace is infinitely greater for good than Adam's sin is for evil. Take the suffering servant in Isaiah 53:11, for example. Through the suffering servant, many are accounted righteous. Many are accounted righteous. This is the grace Paul is writing about in our passage today. The grace of God in Jesus Christ is so much greater than Adam's offense. The grace offered because of Jesus' obedience is by far greater to save than Adam's disobedience that brought death to all of humanity. Adam's judgment brought condemnation to the human race, but God's free gift of grace in Jesus Christ brings justification. And remember, justification means to be declared to be in the right. But let us ponder how much greater this gift of grace is when compared to Adam's misdeed. Through Adam's one act of disobedience in the garden, the entire human race was tainted with sin and death reigned. Now think of all the sins and all the rebellions, all the misdeeds added on by everyone since the time of Adam. I mean, the math seems impossible to calculate with all the accumulated sins of the many over the course of time throughout the centuries. But here's the deal, my friends. God does impossible math. Say that with me. God does impossible math. For in Jesus' obedience to death on the cross, we see how much greater Jesus is than Adam. At the cross of Christ, there is forgiveness of sins. And at the cross of Christ, there is restoration, reconciliation to God. And for those who believe in Jesus, we have a new righteous status. For we have been justified by faith. We have been acquitted. This is God's free gift of grace found in Jesus Christ alone and in no other. Therefore, whereas death reigned and ruled in the old age, represented by Adam, now life reigns in the new age, represented by the second Adam, the Lord Jesus. For those in Christ share Jesus' resurrection life. We have the hope of glory because Jesus has opened the gate of glory. Indeed, Jesus is the gate of glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, because of God's free gift of grace, the new age has already broken into the old one, has already come into the old world. But as Paul unpacks things in the next several chapters, those who have received God's free gift of grace will reign with Jesus forever. So we eagerly look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. What we know now and what we experience now in this world is the overlap of the two ages. Death has been defeated, but it has not yet been destroyed. How do we know this? St. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, 23 through 26. The last enemy to be defeated is death. And St. John writes in Revelation 20, verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But if we follow what Paul's thinking, just as Adam is not equal to Jesus, so the old age is not equal to the new one. We move from death to life in Christ Jesus. Do you see how good God's free gift of grace is? What a hope we have in Jesus, my brothers and sisters. We will rule and we will reign with him forever as co-heirs in a new creation. You see, Adam's one act of disobedience condemned all humanity to death. Therefore, the human race is in Adam. But the act of Jesus justifies and gives life. So people must receive God's free gift of grace. They must respond in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. They must come and take it. For Christ was obedient unto death, just as Paul writes in the famous Christ hymn of Philippians 2. And by faith, we have been made righteous because of what Jesus has done. And we now participate and have union with the very one who is the life giver. For we have everlasting life right now in this life. And our justified status then carries all the way from this life to the life to come, to the final judgment to come. And Paul will expand on all our future hope in the coming chapters as we will be looking at them in the next several weeks. All this is to say, my friends, it is very, very good to be in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. God's free gift of grace is simply amazing. It never gets stale. But as we bridge our wonderful passage with our world today, we see some startling things. For starters, we behold many within the orbit of our lives who continue to live outside the authority of God. And this is quite evident when it comes to people making judgments about themselves that they say that they are good people. When we hear others say this, they compare themselves against someone else saying, I'm a good person because I don't do this or I don't do that. So morality is relative because people have made themselves to be their own authority. And therefore, they define their own moral standards. This is what occurs when we declare and make ourselves out to be king. This is what happens when we step out of God's authority and we take things into our own hands. Such is the mentality and the practices for those who are still in Adam. But for those of us in Jesus, we know that Jesus is the standard of perfection, that he alone is good. And we are in him and he is in us. Therefore, we have entered God's unshakable kingdom. We are under his rule and his authority, for we have put on Jesus. We continually yield ourselves to the Lord because guess what? He is Lord and you and I are not. The second thing we must fathom when investigating our culture is its fascination with eluding and escaping death. TV shows and movies are tackling this theme with storytelling about uploading the human conscience to some digital existence and afterlife. Even the director of engineering at Google a few years back in 2013 said that by 2045, the human race will be uploading our minds to computers. Moreover, he sees a future where our physical bodies are augmented by mechanical parts to prolong life. Again, this is humanity's attempt at ruling and conquering death, of taking things into our own hands. But blessed is the one whose life is found in Jesus Christ. Amen? For Jesus is quite clear in John 11 when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." This is the hope for all those in Christ Jesus. For no eye has seen, nor has ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. God's free gift of grace is simply phenomenal. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yet how shall we live now in Christ? Especially since a great multitude surrounds us that remain in Adam. Well, first we must look outward and be passionate about praying for those we know who aren't yet in Christ. On a personal level, we must be moved in love to consistently pray that they encounter the Lord, that they receive God's free gift of grace. And on the parish level, the archdeaconry level, and the diocesan level, we must be committed to relational evangelism. You know, a lot of churches in our country have become completely self-absorbed. They have ministry after ministry after ministry with an inward focus to the neglect of outreach and evangelism. My friends, the Lord is zealous about reaching people with the gospel. And his people should also be keen about reaching new people with the gospel too. Amen? Amen? So we've got to look outward. We've got to look outward, and we've got to be passionate about those who are not yet in Christ. Because Jesus most certainly is passionate. And we are in him, and he is in us. Secondly, we must continually look upward and submit to God's authority, his reign and rule over us in our lives, because there are tares and not just wheat within the universal church. And many within the church in our day have stepped out from under God's authority on issues that Scripture and the great tradition of the church are quite clear on. With fear and with trembling, we should examine ourselves, my friends. Are you and I living under the authority of the Lord? Are we taking matters into our own hands? Are we stepping out of bounds? For truly in our time, it is difficult to identify believers from non-believers. It is very difficult. I've been in ministry half my life, and I can give witness to this. Just because you come to church doesn't mean that you know the Lord Jesus. And since this is frequently the case, how can we testify to God's free gift of grace when we don't look a whole lot different from those who are still in Adam? So we must look upward, and we must remember that we are under God, that we have been clothed with the new nature, and that we are in the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must not look inward, making ourselves out to be our own ruler and our own king, the own authority of our lives. We do not make ourselves king. We declare Jesus to be king every single day of our lives, and we follow after him and we obey him. Our focus and our mindset must be on the Lord Jesus himself, who is obedient. He was so obedient to the will of the Father that he humbled himself to death upon a cross. In Jesus, my friends, we behold God's free gift of grace. Let us show this great gift by how we live our lives. I plead you, I beg you, please live your lives
in a manner worthy of the gospel. But this free gift of grace, my friends, never gets tired and it never gets old. We keep coming back to it again and again and again. It has so many different layers, and we never reach the end of it. Having received this gift, there are plentiful blessings, blessings that begin in this life and carry onward to the new creation itself. And therefore, as Paul leads us further into his masterpiece, that is the epistle of Romans, we overwhelmingly see the love of God revealed in the Lord Jesus. And we behold this gift of Jesus, this gift of grace from many different angles. And that Jesus, our Lord, has saved us from the slavery of Egypt, which is sin and death, and is leading us to a new promised land, a new heaven and a new earth to come. You see, it is far greater to be in the Lord Jesus, to be in Christ, than in Adam. May we never, ever forget it. So let us rejoice in this truth as we come to receive the Eucharist, that the faithfulness and obedience of Jesus Christ far surpasses the trespass of Adam's disobedience. Let us behold by faith once more God's free gift of grace. Let us pray. Be present, O Jesus, our great high priest, as you were present with your disciples and be known to us in the breaking of bread, who live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.